Good morning. Oh, yep. There we go. Good morning. You've tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is North Idaho News of the Week, and I'm Jack Peterson, coming to you here on Friday, June 6th, 2025. I'm joined, as usual, by Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
keeping the equipment.
I guess we could say you're suffering a little equipment failure,
right?
Just a few minutes ago,
just before we went on the air. we had a strange thing happen with one of the microphones, and so we had to scramble here. But up until that moment, I was doing very well. It's a nice morning, you know. Mm. Looking ahead at a pretty summery weekend, I would say.
Excessively summery, some might say.
For this early in the season, yeah. There's some high temperature. When I was looking at the weather yesterday, I think highs in the 90s over the weekend. We're joined as well by Sansare Mitchell, the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Good morning, Sansare.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. And I'll jump into the headlines. Currently, Lake Pend'Oreille, the level of the surface of the lake is 2,060.7 feet above sea level, less than 2 feet shy of its full summer pool, which is 2,062.5. At the state level, no decision yet from the Idaho Supreme Court on the titles of the abortion ballot initiative, which caused the Idahoans United for Women and Families to postpone the launch of their signature drive this week. The Idaho Supreme Court heard arguments on April 25th over the Attorney General's proposed titles for the ballot initiative, but there have been no updates since then, despite a motion to expedite. The last time this kind of legal challenge happened was in 2023 when Reclaim Idaho prevailed in their their suit against prejudiced language in the ballot measure about the state primary election system. A new report from Feeding America came out, a map, the meal gap report on the state of Idaho, that estimates that 12.7% of Idahoans are food insecure, and Boundary County, that number is higher at 24%, one of the higher counties in the state of Idaho. Boundary County also, headline from Boundary County, a state of emergency has been declared by the county itself. The Board of Commissioners issued a statement urging the U.S. Forest Service to address wildfire risks on overgrown national forest land, while also aiming to revive the county's timber industry. The report says in part, or the statement says in part, this resolution shall serve to formally notify the U.S. Forest Service and other federal partners of the county's urgent concern and demand for immediate mitigation actions. It goes on, the preservation of property, infrastructure, natural resources, and economic activities, including timber, agriculture, and recreation, are significantly threatened by the growing risk of catastrophic wildfire. Observed fuel loads indicate that the accumulation of dead, dry, and overgrown vegetation has reached hazardous levels. So an emergency declared there in Bonner County, or in Boundary County, pardon me. As far as Bonner County goes, the big news of the week down here in our kind of neck of the woods, a court on Monday, the Judge Casey Simmons on Monday of the First Judicial Court of Idaho ruled to vacate the permit for a recreational facility that the Bonner County Board of Commissioners had issued to Scott and Jennifer Kalbach in 2024 for the Panhandle Bike Ranch in Sagal. That Panhandle Bike Ranch was scheduled to open next Friday, June 13th, but now it does not have a permit to do so. And Sansare has the story in the Sandpoint Reader this week. Shall we dive right into it? Jock bikes a little bit. Okay. this has been really the talk of the town. I saw that the Pondere Peddlers issued a statement in response. One of the local outdoor groups, and particularly, you know, concerned with biking and bicycle type recreation, and I'm sure others have as well. But that's the one that made it as far as the desk here at KRFY. The bike ranch was issued last year by the board of, I guess, let's get into the background of it a little bit. They had the Bonner County had issued a permit, and that permit was issued by the county commissioners themselves. They voted on it.
Yes, so yeah. There's been a lot of back and forth on this particular issue of the conditional use permits. So it was initially, they had a public hearing to hear testimony from both sides, and that was held by a hearing examiner who ruled that the Panhandle Bike Ranch did deserve their conditional use permits. That was protested by some area homeowners, and it went to the county commissioners to a vote. They had another meeting. They voted to uphold the hearing examiner's ruling. That, again, got appealed. There was some back and forth. The neighbors, again, asked to have the decision reconsidered. The commissioners voted not to reconsider, so then the neighbors entered into litigation against the county, which is what we're seeing right now. So that happened in Kootenai County, because, of course, they're suing Bonner County, so it can't be here. And essentially, Judge Casey Simmons, she didn't rule on whether or not the Panhandle Bike Ranch deserves their conditional use permit or has met the requirements. She ruled that Bonner County, when they agreed to give the conditional use permit, did not provide enough facts or examples of how they met those conditions, and therefore it denied anyone who opposed the conditional use permit the ability to really argue against it because they didn't have those facts and figures that they could pick at. And so the court basically ruled that it's going to go back to the county commissioners, who will talk about it more, and depending on how they vote, they will have to submit a lot more facts, figures, and ideas justifying their decision.
And the basis of the objections, as I understand it, are that neighbors feel it's going to harm the rural nature of their neighborhood.
Yes, there's been... Keep Segal Rural is one of the institutions that's been fighting it. And then also they have their own Facebook page and website, Stop the Segal Bike Park. The neighbors of the Five Lakes Estates, there's a little subdivision of around 50 houses, I believe. And they live off of the dirt road that goes to the bike ranch. And they said they're lawyer, Norm Semenko, who's a Boise-based lawyer, argued that the dust pollution from the traffic, that the potential litter coming off of the cars, that just the increased traffic in general, that the increased fire risk potentially was detrimental to the neighbors' property values and quality of life. And that went back and forth. Obviously, representatives for the Panhandle Bike Ranch said that proximity to the bike ranch will actually increase property values, and they provided some real estate statistics on that. But, the neighbors are very determined not to let this happen, which is putting everyone in a very difficult position at the moment because, of course, the bike ranch is already built. The family has sunk millions of dollars into it. And now it's all being put on pause. So either way that this goes, if the BOCC votes in favor or against, I anticipate a lawsuit coming against the county.
now, okay, the county as of now has issued no official statement or any of the, have any of the commissioners kind of gone on the record on how they feel about this ruling?
No, they have to have, they have to schedule another public hearing, mm-hmm. and they are not really openly discussing this because, of course, they're already entered into litigation, and so it wouldn't be good to say anything without consulting their attorney.
Okay, so we don't expect to hear anything from the county until, I guess, when? When's the next time they could move on this?
I would anticipate in the coming weeks. There is not a specific deadline, but I assume to avoid litigation that they would want to move rather quickly, considering this is a tight spot that they're in. They're currently undergoing a lot of budget review to try and determine next year's budget, and so they have been working around the clock anyway. So scheduling a meeting like this might be difficult. The last meeting that I attended lasted 6.5 hours because of all of the public testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Sasha, how many acres does the bike ranch have? Do you know that off the top of your head?
That's a great question, and I don't remember.
It's big, you know.
It's a lot.
150, 160 acres or mm-hmm. more. We don't have that number. Maybe we can find it as we're talking here.
Yes,
right.
It's an interesting case in a couple ways. One, it actually holds the land in an undeveloped state, mm-hmm. other than these trails that will be there. In some ways, it does maintain the rural character of the neighborhood better than if they broke that big chunk of property up into, 10-acre lots or whatever is permitted in that rural zone.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, one of the points of contention is that they're actually a resort
mm-hmm.
and not just a recreational use. I think the recreational use is allowed in that rural zone, but if it's a resort, it's not allowed. Is that correct?
Yes. So a recreational facility, as it's called in Bonner County Revised Code, is allowed with a conditional use permit in Rural 10 zoning, which is that area's zoning. And it's defined as a place designed and equipped for the conduct of small-scale and low-intensity sports, leisure time activities, and other customary and usual recreational activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so opponents, for one, argued that, or really most of their argument hinged on the fact that downhill mountain biking is not a low-intensity sport, according to them. And the issue that came about with that is the code actually gives a list of low-intensity sports, and it's, including but not limited to. And since they did that, they gave everyone the power to compare sports that are listed, and the county talked about this a little bit last year, they probably just shouldn't have listed any sports and gone on a case-by-case basis, but they listed rafting, cross-country skiing, horseback riding, snowmobiling, and so there was a big debate whether, snowmobiling is likened to downhill mountain biking. Yeah. I mean, it's downhill skiing.
Snowmobiling involves a motor, which
yes.
is noisy,
mm-hmm.
and the mountain biking, they might have e-bikes on these trails, mm-hmm. but they're not going to have internal combustion engines, as I understand it, right?
Yes.
So they're not going to be motorbikes. They're going to be mountain bikes much quieter than snowmobiles. I thought that was just kind of odd that snowmobiles would be thrown in a recreational, since it's a motorized recreation. The code might need to get looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
By the county to be more specific on these things.
I have here, reports are coming in from our listeners about the size of the ranch. According to the Sandpoint Reader from April 24th, 2024, so this was the original, when it went before the hearing examiner, not before the county commission, but it was two contiguous 85.33 acre parcels So I guess that means
170 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when it went before the county commission, at the time they voted 2-1 in favor of it, with Asia Williams being the lone dissenting vote.
Yes.
Asia Williams is now Asia Williams remains on the county commission, and the other two seats have changed since then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's been very interesting to speculate about how the new commissioners would potentially vote on this, because of course the board that heard this originally was commissioners Luke Ahmet, Steve Bradshaw, and Asia Williams. Williams was the dissenting vote,
mm-hmm.
and she basically said that she understands the merits of having this park, but she did not believe that it suited the Rural 10 zoning. And so now that the park is already built and we're going in with a new commission, we have to see whether they're going to uphold the previous commission's ideas. And just from my personal experience with the commissioners, current commissioner Ron Korn has been very vocal about individual property rights. And all of the commissioners right now are very concerned with property rights, but there's a debate going between who has more of a right, the property owner or the adjacent property owners. So even though it's your property, can you do something that potentially harms your neighbor? And Ron Korn has mostly sided with the individual as opposed to the collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a key question here for these commissioners. I know Ron Korn in fact, when we interviewed him here at KRFY, he said he's all for private property rights. And I asked him at this point, the decision had been made, well, how would you have stood on the Panhandle Bike Ranch? And he actually kind of fudged on that one. He said, mm-hmm. well, in this case, we have the property rights of the neighbors we have to consider. So it remains to be seen how Ron might fall out on that. As mm-hmm. for Brian, I don't know about where he might be on this either.
Yeah, given
Brian Domke,
other county commissioner, given his track record, he is into planning. He's a landscape architect by trade, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's very concerned with the issues of the collective and public safety in designing certain areas. So that could swing him more towards the arguments of the neighboring property owners. However, he's also been very, very cautious about lawsuits. And I think it will give him and the other commissioners pause to try and deny this CUP that's already been issued and then vacated, because it will definitely incur legal issues. And I think that the owners of the Panhandle Bike Ranch would have a very good case to win against the county.
Seems like it. They were given permission. They sunk a bunch of money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And now a judge is saying, well, that permission was incorrectly given.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of an impact, how much activity is would the neighbors experience with the bike park if it was operating as they have plans for?
Well, this is another issue that they've been debating, because the opposition has said that it will be thousands of cars a day, which I think the owners of the Panhandle Bike Ranch and other outside sources has said that's a large number mm-hmm. to anticipate, especially in a town of 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also they are running a shuttle service that will go up and down the mountain so that people won't be just driving their own cars up there. They've only allocated about an acre of parking. And then they, of course, don't have any buildings for people to stay in. They have some planned outbuildings for ticketing, and they'll have little places for the porta potties because they do not have installed bathrooms, and then 1 acre or less of camping. So that it doesn't appear that it would be as many cars as people are claiming, but the legal counsel Norm Semenko did a lot of fancy math in front of everyone, and he did come up with that number in some way. I would assume that people are going to bike to it, and also there's not enough place to park. And if these people are coming, you know, in from out of town, they're probably gonna keep their stuff at their, you know, hotels or Airbnbs that they're staying and just get there as easily as possible.
Yeah, there'll be cars coming in. No way is there going to be 1,000 cars in a day.
No.
And I can say that based on, you know, looking at, say, Schweitzer, mm-hmm. which has a bunch of developed trails, as well as the developed trail system at Pine Street Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Any given time, say, at Pine Street Woods, there might be 30 or 40 cars on a busy day.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine it would be to that scale. On the other hand, the neighbors, you know, 30 or 40 cars or 50 or 60 cars might be very objectionable to them.
Yes. There's no question that it will be a big change for the mm-hmm. neighbors. And it will, of course, cause some dust pollution because it is a dirt road. They're going to be coming up in the summer when everything is dry. And many neighbors made the point that, you know, if people are driving too fast, I believe it's a 10-mile-an-hour road. If people are driving too fast, kicking up dust, that's going into their AC units, into their heaters, into their refrigerators, and anything that has a fan, and clogging that up and leading to utility bills and things like that. So there will definitely be an impact on the neighbors, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And I know that people had floated the idea of, you know, paving a road or trying to find alternative access or using just the regular oil that they use to keep the dirt yeah. down. But
dust abatement.
Yeah, exactly. But none of those ideas really stuck. It is a long road to have to pave for the property owners. And also, I think people were objecting to the dust abatement because they have their, you know, gardens and everything out mm-hmm. front and mm-hmm. they didn't want all those chemicals there.
Well, depending on how it goes, maybe the neighbors get a paved road out of the county.
There you go.
Who knows? So I know that obviously the neighbors have been quite opposed to this.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there's been a lot of people that are in the biking community that have been in favor of it. You mentioned that the Pottery Peddlers group, did they have a statement on this?
They do, yeah. Here, I'll pull that up here.
I believe the National Bike Mag or something also just did a story
on
that.
And I know that there's a bike group in Spokane that's been vocally in favor of it as mm-hmm. well. So they actually had on the public record quite a bit of support.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, it's was discounted by the opponents as, well, a lot of these people are from out of town. They don't even live here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
let's see. The Pottery Peddlers respond, heartbroken to hear the news that Panhandle Bike Ranch's permit has been revoked just days before opening. The ruling is more than a setback for one business. It's a loss for our entire community. The statement goes on and includes encouragement to everyone who believes in the future of biking in our region to reach out to the Bonner County commissioners, and then list the contact information for each of those commissioners as well as the commissioner's office directly, and concludes, "We stand with the Panhandle Bike Ranch and look forward to the day their gates are open to riders of all ages and abilities."
Mm-hmm. That's
from the Pottery Peddlers mm-hmm. statement
yeah.
on the matter. Just a couple more details I have questions about is Judge Casey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything, I mean, about her? Is this the style of ruling that, you know, one might expect from her? Is she I know the callbacks in their response said that the judge could have sent it back to the county commissioners and asked for fixes rather than completely vacating the existing permit. Is this judge, you know, acting in a way that you'd expect a judge of the First Judicial, the First Judicial Court of Idaho to act, or is this kind of a, is she an outlier in some way?
I'd say it's pretty par for the course, even though Jennifer Kaulbach did say that the judge could just have sent it back to the commissioners to change things. I'm not sure. I don't know where she is getting that information, that that was a possibility. I know that the judge was ruling between the county and obviously the neighbors, and the neighbors did not want it to just get sent back, and they sided with the neighbors, so I'm not sure if that was actually an option. As far as what we know about Casey Simmons, she was appointed by Governor Little in 2024. She has been a longtime member of the Kootenai area legal field. I believe she's tried cases in Washington and Idaho, so she has a very long track record and is obviously very well trusted. She did rule, so both sides of the legal debate asked that the other side pay for their legal fees, because essentially they said, you know, they did something wrong and now we have to pay lawyers and it's their fault, so they need to pay them. And the judge did rule that no, neither party is in the wrong. They're going through the judicial process correctly. They've gone through all of the legal means to get where they are. So she did rule that neither side got their legal fees paid for. So I think that shows that she had been very fair with both sides, it seems.
Yeah. You said earlier when we began our discussion just that this ruling was not necessarily on the, she didn't rule per se against the Kaulbachs and the Panhandle Bike Ranch. It was specifically against this permit being kind of inappropriately filed or incomplete.
Exactly. It was against the county and how little detail they provided in their justification.
Have you looked at any other CUP, any other conditional use permits that the county has provided? Is this one particularly lacking, or is this the kind of permit that the county usually provides and, you know, could prove legally problematic someday in the future if this is kind of the standard that that Bonner County usually sticks to?
You know, I haven't done a deep dive into reading all of the legal contracts. I know we have had issues with conditional use permits in the past. I'm not sure if any of them have actually gone to litigation, but I know that many people have protested them and argued that they're kind of being used as like spot zoning, so trying to puzzle piece in things that really don't fit in that area. This is definitely an outlier because it is so massive and such a unique developments. And really the only things that that Judge Casey Simmons took issue with as far as the BOC's approval of this was that they did not say why they considered it a recreational facility as opposed to a resort, and that they did not explain why they had satisfied the water requirements for fire mitigation, because basically the commissioner said it's within the Sagal Fire District. The firefighters will come up if there's ever an issue. That's fine. That satisfies the requirements. But they did not say why they thought that. And even though they required the Kaulbachs dig a well to provide drinking water and to help the firefighters, they did not give a gallons per minute that well needed to reach in order to be adequate. So it was just any well will satisfy that. And so those were the issues. And given this is a very dry area up in the mountains, there are homes nearby. It's very difficult to get to because it is a dirt road. There is a significant risk of fire. And I believe that The opposition pointed that out, especially with bikes going down at high speeds, knocking metal onto rock and sending off sparks. There hasn't been a lot of recorded instances of bikes starting fires.
Unpowered bikes, yeah.
Unpowered bikes, yes. But I believe they had one in California or Oregon that, that they were drawing from.
Well, we're about out of time, but to refer to one part of your story this week in the Reader, where people can get more details. So the Panhandle Bike Ranch is intending to have an open house tomorrow and Sunday, right?
Yes.
So if people are particularly interested, they could go check it out for themselves. And as well, they have a website, panhandlebikeranch.com, that has a good trail map on it. So that gives you a kind of a visual picture of what the bike park would look like with all the trails already built. That's the big rub here, is they put a bunch of money into it.
They really did. And depending on how things go and how quickly all of this moves, the callbacks did tell me that they are considering just opening the bike park for free because that would get around the resort allegations, because they wouldn't be charging. So potentially it'll be open this summer one way or another.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Here we are. It's 8:30. I think we're gonna move to wrap up here, unless there's anything else you want to throw out there, Sansaray, before we go. The centerpiece here of this week's Reader is a interview with congressional hopeful Kaylee Peterson, who's running for the Democratic nomination, and that takes up about three pages.
Big fat interview, but you had a big fat interview with Russ Fulcher, her opponent, a month ago or so.
Yes, right. There's a difference of about 100 words between the two in length, in case anyone is wondering, and those 100 words are taken up by editor's notes that editor Zach Hagedon put in, so we are being fair. Everybody gets the same amount. And we asked very similar, if not the same, questions of both. So you can see the differences between the two very clearly.
Well, okay. There you have it. And Sansaray, you were a part of this one. You missed out on the Fulcher interview, I think.
I was in the room. I didn't get to ask any questions.
Yeah.
This time you asked questions.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening, folks, to North Idaho News of the Week. We'll be back next week, of course. Thanks to everybody who called in and contributed, pitched in by helping out on the phones or did anything to help us during our fun drive last week. And thanks for showing up last Friday night at the event at the Idaho Poor Authority with beer provided by Utara. And
do we have something coming Tuesday? This Tuesday? When's the next Little Live Radio Hour?
Oh, it's the following Tuesday, right? It's this one.
The 17th.
Okay. So, yeah, we have a weekend change.
Okay.
For 10 String Smile.
10 String Smile will be playing, yeah.
Yeah, at the Panhandle Little Theater, and that is a free event if you want to attend in person, or you can listen on your radio, also free of charge.
Yeah.
Okay. Sansaray, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Off time now for a little Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY. And I think we'll start with some Queen to get things going in an appropriate direction.
Is this the bicycle song?
Yeah, of course. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride. Say white, say bar, I say bite, say shark, I say him and John.